The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is quad sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I just came home from skate practice, which is always fun and good. And I'm feeling connected to the ice and ready to talk about it.
That's amazing. I haven't been to skate practice in a while, so I'm unconnected. I'm out of touch. I'm like, I need to reconnect to my roots.
I think that is a very reasonable energy to be heading into the Cup of China coverage with, because Cup of China was unhinged. I've seen it called the Cup of Disaster on the internet. I don't know if I agree, because many things happened, and I love when things happen. It makes me excited. But it sure was an event.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a disaster for the people who did well. Like, that's okay. That's, now that I said it out loud, I'm like, wow, that's the coldest take I've ever had. But
yeah, no, it's funny because I've seen from former, now retired skaters that everyone has weird memories of the Cup of China, and it apparently always is sort of unhinged. There's speculation about whether it's because it's like halfway through the Grand Prix season and everyone's just kind of, you know, pushing in a different way than, you know, the beginning when it's brand new, or the final when people are, you know, training for the final. I don't know, but it sure did happen. Like,
yeah, well, and I have to imagine that's one of the events where like the most people probably have a huge time zone change, jet lag thing. Time zones frankly confuse me a little bit, and it was just a bad quality to have when half my friends live in Europe and family. but I think if you were to sit down and be like, where are most people coming from and is it in the same time zone? I feel like China is, first of all, spans multiple time zones, and second of all, like, yeah, it seems like the most people would be coming from a sleepier place.
Yeah, especially for people who had assignments the previous week, right? So it's there were people who traveled across half the world within like 4 days to skate again, which is also very unmooring is the word I'm gonna go with. I don't know. I haven't done big international travel like across many time zones in a while, but it's always bad even when you're not expected to be skating at the, you know, worldwide competitive level.
Yeah, and like, I don't know if this is TMI or not, but something that I've always experienced when I travel abroad, like overseas, is like, any mental health type stuff gets so bad for me for some reason. I think it's like the total disruption of routine, the total disruption of sleep schedule, and just like having, I don't know what it is, like things that will be like totally fine when I'm home all of a sudden have like a weird depressive episode or something when I'm away, to the point where like I will have to plan around that when I travel. So I can't imagine it being such a part of my job where I have to perform and do these like intense things. Also, I said this on Twitter, but I think it's worth considering like something baked into the rules of assignments, whether it's fair to have a skater competing like halfway across the world in the span of like under a week. I think that might be a little unfair. It didn't hold some people back, as we will say later, but like to me, that doesn't feel like a fair competition between somebody who has to skate in France and then literally get on a plane and skate in China versus somebody who gets to like
half 2 weeks off or whatever.
or like a month off or something. Yeah. I mean, that in some ways that's how it shakes out, but it just feels like maybe they should try and space it out a little.
It feels like one of those things that in theory it would be very good to have rules about it, but in practice I have no idea if it would ever work out.
Yeah, like I feel it's one of those things where it could be mathematically impossible. Like
it feels it. It feels like it.
Yeah, maybe I'm just coming up with, I'm reinventing a wheel that won't roll, but whatever.
I think that is fine and acceptable. Should we just talk about those podiums?
I think we should.
I will say, just going into it, both men and women, you could not have paid me to truly predict how the podiums would shake out. And I would not have, I was very surprised and very thrilled by both podiums because it was I like when things are unpredictable, so that was fun for me personally.
Yes, and one thing I will say that has been a running theme, and I want to say like every singles event in this Grand Prix, or nearly every singles event in this Grand Prix series so far, is a lot of movement between the short and the free. Yeah. Like the free isn't, it's, you know, they say like, oh, you can't win the competition with a short program, but you can lose it. But there has been so much movement that whether it's winning or losing, like you just literally, the short has almost never like shook out exactly the same as the free so far, which is really exciting.
Right? There's so much talent and there is so much, you know, younger skaters who are just now coming into the spotlight of what it could be. And then you have people who you kind of expect, you know, what they're going to do, and then things are still spicy. It makes me very happy. It makes me very stressed out, but that's why we do this. Do you want to start with women?
Let's start with women.
Hell yeah. Okay. Women. Cup of China. Sure happened.
Sure happened. They happened a lot. Everything happened so much, to quote Horse eBooks. In third place with the bronze medal is Luna Hendricks of Belgium.
I love her. I know we've talked about her already. She won the short program, ended up in third in the free and bronze overall, which was distressing to me as a Luna stan. That sounds like a country.
It sounds like you're you like stan Luna, like the K-pop people, but
yeah. However, I've never even heard a single Luna song, but I have seen Luna Hendricks skate. She is officially qualified for the final. We will be seeing my bestie Luna Hendricks in the final, and I'm thrilled.
Oh, that's news to me. I haven't finished watching the women's event in Finland yet. So, I mean, I'm not like mathematically brilliant enough to deduce how it ends based on this Luna information, but this is the first I am hearing. I love it when people start qualifying for the final. It's like the best.
It feels like Christmas. It also might feel like Christmas because it always happens around Christmas. So I think I, in my brain, just connect final qualifiers with like making my Christmas plans. But anyway, Luna has made it.
Yeah, I just put up my Christmas tree this morning and Luna Hendricks is...
I am so excited to start decorating. I haven't yet, but I have told my very long-suffering roommate that I will be turning our beautiful new apartment into a winter wonderland. And he has said, that's fine.
See, I went really ham on Halloween decorations, and they're so cute that I don't want to take them down. So I've put a tree next to them, and so it's kind of like Halloween-themed Christmas.
Aww.
Which is, because I'm like, I can't, you know.
I took my Halloween shed down, and now I regret it because I had a massive sparkly bat on one of my kitchen cupboards. And I took her down, and then I was like, I could have just given her a little Christmas hat.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I'm going for. I have like a sculpture of like a glittery pink skull with a crow on its head. I mean, the skull is the head, I guess. But now the crow is like gazing upon the star on top of the tree. Anyway, this has been Christmas decorations pre-Thanksgiving corner. Luna,
Please tweet us your decorations if you have them. I want to see everyone's Christmassy or whatever you celebrate. I want to see your wintery home decor because it makes me so happy. It truly unironically sparks joy, much like Luna Hendricks. How's that for a segue?
Yeah, and I felt bad because like it just wasn't, I don't know, she was the kind of the favorite and it just didn't pan out for her this time. So it's like bronze, yeah, okay, like bronze is great, but for her I think it was a disappointment and not what she was expecting going
in. For sure. She has truly grown so much into her rock star status, where a couple of seasons ago Luna Hendrix's bronze at the Grand Prix event would have been huge news. And now she seems disappointed with it. She seems to want to push harder for better results, which again shakes out for a very, very exciting final. And I still think she has one of the best packages this season. Both of her programs just work so well. And I am convinced that she's gonna let this moment of slight disappointment propel her so much forward when it comes to training for the final and the rest of the season. Euros, my God.
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you about the total package of the two programs. It's unified thematically, but it's not too samey.
Yep.
And that's so hard to do in this sport. Like, there's like a lot of people who will do just one thing, a lot of people who do total contrast. And like, there's good to be had in both of those. I just think it's a really hard needle to thread of like, both of these programs are like sisters, they're related, but they're different enough that it doesn't feel like a repeat.
For sure. Adam Solia has done such a great job with
What a great year for him.
fantastic year for him. So many of his students or choreographies, is that a word? So many of the people he
It is
choreographs
now.
for have been doing incredible, and I love to see it. He's such a presence, and I really dig his choreography style. So this has been very fun for me as a
And he got that silver hair. He got that toner out.
I Okay, look, as a person who's had blonde in my hair for the past 2.5 years now, it is so easy for your hand to slip a little bit when you're toning your hair. 10 years ago, it was so hard to have silver hair, and now it's just a matter of going a little bit too hard on the purple shampoo. And I relate to him, and I understand him, and it sparks joy. I think he should remain silver for the rest of his life. It's fun. I respect it.
I'm sort of accidentally silver right now, as in like I was blue and then I forgot to touch it up and now I just look like I'm prematurely
That will
aging, and that's
happen.
fine.
I've been getting so many gray hairs. I found a gray hair in my eyebrows recently, and I'm at peace with that.
I'm 33 and I haven't had a gray hair yet. And I think that's the one upshot of living a really like sedentary, indoors, calm, solitary life. Like nothing really happens to me, but I look really young forever. I'm like a boring Dorian Gray.
I think I look young for my age in general. However, I have been getting a bunch of gray hairs, and the second my hair is mostly white, I swear to God, I'll grow it out. I think grayish white hair is so beautiful when it's natural, and also when it's not natural, much like Adam Celia's beautiful silver head.
Yeah, if I could grow like fully silver hair, oh my God, I would
Right?
in a heartbeat.
Right? It's
Yeah.
full sexy vampire man from Baldur's Gate, which I have not played because my computer refuses, but still.
Kind of same. Also, I don't really see the appeal of him, and I feel like this is maybe a safe space to say
No,
it.
it's
Like,
not.
we know
Megan, have we
it's not.
met? I love a vampire bitch so much. A vampire brat. Like, what I know about, is it Asterion? What I
Yeah.
know about him from cultural osmosis on the internet is that he's a little bratty bitch and he's a blonde vampire. And I grew up as a Lestat stan.
Yeah, no, I like him as a
I'm
character, but
legally
I don't.
obliged to be horny for this man.
Right, so I love him and I love him as a character, but I'm not horny for him in a way that I feel like I should be based on
You're
like the
everything
fact that
about
I'm like
you. I'm not gonna out you
based on my everything about me.
I was gonna say television. This is not television.
I don't know, man. This is on my own figure skating podcast. I think it's a safe space to say we know I love a twink, but I think I don't know. You know what it is? It's not even the characterization or the design or anything. It's that I don't like the skin textures in that game, and so I can't really be attracted to any of those characters. It's Uncanny Valley. It's like they tried too hard to make skin imperfections, and then it just ended up looking like weird, too realistic skin on like not realistic enough people, and it like is very ick to me.
This is such an outstanding take. Again, I have not played. I've just watched other people play and seen like TikToks about it, so I can't speak to that. But it is interesting that you, a person who grew up on anime, has this take. I'm sorry, I'm
Yeah, but
roasting
in anime,
you.
in No. But in anime, everything's really flat and like cell shaded. And so
Starion is fuckable if he was cell shaded?
I probably would. Like, that's the fucked up part. It's that or if he was real, but not this weird thing in between where he's like, I can still tell that he's made out of computer polygons, but then looks like he's wearing like a real human skin suit. And it might just be how it's rendering on my shitty computer, where like the skin is the only thing that's coming in like as perfectly as it's supposed to, and everything else is like glitchy as hell.
Don't you think, bringing this back to figure skating, this is a figure skating podcast, we've talked about one figure skater in 15 minutes. Do you think that watching skaters in their little flesh-toned gloves has manage to somewhat desensitize you to the near humanness of almost skin?
I don't think I will ever love a weird glove unless it's a perfect match. And what really gets me is when the flesh-toned like fabric deviates from being totally form-fitting. Yeah, I really don't like that.
It looks like their skin suits are coming off. Anyway, in silver. Mm-hmm. In silver.
A woman whose skin suit is not coming off. Rinko Watanabe of Japan.
A woman who's a real woman, Rinko Watanabe of Japan, whom I love so much. She has very quickly become one of my daughters. Both of her programs this year are so special. But before anything else, I do want to talk to you about her hobbies, if I may.
Please do.
Let me just pull it up, because I know what I'm going to tell you about, but I do want to actually have her ISU bio in front of me. So, Rinko Watanabe, light of my life, university student, her hobbies are collecting goods of the Bathonomous Giganteus, watching anime and collecting figures of anime.
What the hell is that first thing you said?
Fantastic question, Megan. The Bathonomous Giganteus is a species of aquatic crustacean. It's an isopod. It's a gigantic, like, football-sized isopod, distant cousin to the shrimp and the crabs. It's this wretched creature of the sea. It is so accursed looking, and I love it so dearly. She is such a fan. Spoilers for Plushie Corner, someone gave her a plushie of the gigantic isopod.
Oh, okay. It's all coming together.
It's all coming back to you now.
It is, because every time she gets those every time in Plushie Corner, and I'm like, why are people giving her horrible larvae when somebody else got like a nice like cat?
She,
like, what has Rinka done to deserve this? But apparently this is like her special interest. Oh my god, I love
this. She loves them. Friend of the pod Jamie was in my house when we watched this, and of course we spiraled about this, and we found a wonderful person on Etsy. I believe she is Ukrainian, and she sells patterns for crocheting, and she literally just sells crochet patterns for accursed little creatures like shrimp and crustaceans and snakes and whatnot. And there is, and like a pill bug, which is so cute looking, but there is a crochet pattern for a Bathonomous Giganteus. So everyone, please hit up Etsy for your crochet needs if you're going to see Rinko Watanabe at any point, because you can make her one. Or you can make yourself one and hold it gently while you watch her skate.
I love her. I love her. I love her smile. Like, I just find it so charming. Yeah. And like, she's so up and down, right? Like, she's not the most consistent skater, but I do genuinely think she has some of the best edges in the women's field. Like, Kaori being in a field of her own, I think if we take Kaori out of the equation, Rinka's up there in like top three most beautiful edges for me.
For sure.
Yeah. So and if I'm being fully honest, like based on just who did the best overall in my heart, I would have given gold to Rinka. I do understand that the math mathed and it was very close. And so I get it, but at the same time, like just purely on vibes and emotions, I feel like Rinka won the event in my heart.
Yeah, I agree. It ended up being a difference of like 0.75 or something. It's so close between her and Hannah, who ended up winning, and we're gonna talk about her for in a second. But I do agree, Vrenka just has such energy to her. Also, I do want to talk about her free skate costume. I will repeat what I said on the internet because I stand by it. It looks like Stefan Lambiel's Four Seasons had a kid, and the kid is a Gen Zer who is extremely 1,000 times cooler than him.
Okay, this costume actually, for me, was giving like the aesthetic of every wedding that I attended in like 2007, 2008.
It is giving 2008 homecoming dress a little bit with the fuchsia.
It's like very much the...
And the zebra prints.
Yeah, the black and white swirls and the fuchsia was absolutely the color scheme situation of my sister's wedding in 2008.
I will say I'm obsessed with the fact that like the chest part, like the deep V, the pink part, looks like it's trying to morph itself into a more regular skating dress. Like, it's the beautiful pastels and the sparkles, and then the rest of the dress is just rebelling against that, and it's like, no, I will remain zebra swirls and fuchsia.
Yeah, it's like a figure skater, but like Junji Ito. It's like if Junji Ito did Yuri on Ice.
That is the title of this episode. Welcome.
Junji Ito's Yuri on Ice.
Yes. Yes, that is it. I'm so happy to have arrived here. I love Junji Ito so much. And this is exactly it. She's just so charming. Now that I'm watching her skate as we speak again, it's just, she has such presence. And I truly believe that we're seeing the beginning of just a very, very exciting entire career for her. Also, she had glitter in her hair, which I respect so much.
Yeah, I love it when people put in the extra effort. It's just, like, incredible. And Team Japan's really serving on that front, both the men and the women this season. Mm-hmm. So, good for you, Rinka. We love you. And in first place was her teammate, Hana Yoshida, also from Japan.
I could not have predicted that in a million years, which is not to say that Hana is not a beautiful skater. I just... It would have never occurred to me to, you know, it was such a strong field and I'm thrilled for her. She worked so hard and she fucking delivered and there she goes.
Yeah, she makes, every time I see her skate out, I laugh because, and it's not her fault, it's because during Skate America, when I was watching with my little nieces and Hana Yoshida skated out, my youngest niece, who's like 4, took one look at her and went, "Happy birthday." And it's like, reader, it was not her birth. I don't know why I called you reader. Listener, her birthday is in August. So it was not her birthday. Also, why would my 4-year-old niece know that? She just decided that was her birthday.
She just
knew. So Hana Yoshida was born at Skate America, I guess.
She just knew a winner when she saw one. And she has appreciated that Hana is a winner. I did get distracted because her personal life portion of her Wikipedia bio just says, well, it says where she was born and blah, 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 blah. And then she went to an international school and as a result is able to speak English fluently. And I relate to that experience.
I was like, I read that too. And I was like, get her on the pod.
Honestly, Hana Yoshida, if you want to come on the pod, I promise we're going to be so nice.
I'm so excited. Okay. I love her short program so much.
Right.
It's like the little sister of Wakaba Energia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about this off mic before we started recording. I'm so happy to see Caitlin Weaver in her choreographer era. She has really been serving. We've seen several programs that she's worked on, which are so good. And it's just very exciting for me to see that Caitlin is establishing herself as a very, very good choreographer at this point.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a, like, jumping ahead spoiler of Finland, but I know I'm going to forget this, so I have to say it now. But the Peacock subtitles, as those of you who've been watching on The Cock are aware... I can't take credit for, I want to say it was Sydney Battle, the comedian who started calling it that. Somebody on Twitter started calling it The Cock and it stuck for me. But the subtitles have been an adventure and a half, including, like, I think it's just that whoever is, I don't know if it's AI or if it's a person, but I think they're having trouble with Mark's beautiful Scottish accent. And so, like, for example, like, they kept saying Daddy instead of Daria for one of the ice dancers. So that was interesting. But one of the other ones, sometimes they just get lost and they skip things. And, like, that's fine. I've never been a closed captioner. It's probably really hard. But during another program that Caitlin Weaver had choreographed for Amber Glenn, who I will find a way to bring up in every episode, even when she wasn't there, that Mark was like, oh, and they are two of the only, you know, out queer women in skating, so they really wanted to collaborate. And the closed caption said, they are two of the only women in skating.
That is not incorrect.
Yeah, like, it's also true. Like, they are two of the only women in skating. They are the only women. Caitlin Weaver is the only woman.
Not clickbait. I will say, because I didn't get that, I didn't get those closed captions because I watched the ISU YouTube live streams. And we're fully distracted and fully talking about a different thing, but I do want to say that hearing the words out queer women on the official ISU stream was very special and very moving. And I have, as usual, very much appreciated Mark and all of his beautiful commentary.
Yeah, and one thing that Mark's been pointing out a lot too, and I guess this is more of an overarching thing, so I don't feel bad bringing it up here either, is that he's so, like, eager and willing to point out the trend of, like, more and more women who are staying in the sport longer, who are pushing themselves to improve even after the age of 20, even after 25, like, breaking that myth that you can't improve. And what I think it's done is actually create this hype around the concept of being a, you know, quote unquote older woman and still pushing yourself and like, I guess, elevating that to the thing that we want to celebrate. Because I feel like in years past, it's been like, oh, the thing that we hype is like, you're a little teenager and you can do a quad.
She's 7 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like a weird novelty if you're older, like, oh, look at her. Isn't she cute? And like now I think it's almost like, thanks, you know, in part, but a lot to Mark's commentary, it's like, the thing that is the most impressive is just like being a woman in your 20s and doing better than you did in your teens.
I've heard him several times, and I can't recall about like who exactly, but I've heard several times things like, she's only 19, she's only 21, I'm excited to see her grow. Like, the language we usually are used to hearing about male figure skaters a lot more has slowly started trickling into our commentary of women, and I am so excited. I'm so, so, so thrilled. Also, I found out hours ago that the current coach that I'm working with, her name's Daniela, and she's amazing. Apparently, she has been commentating some of the events for Eurosport Bulgaria, and I had to be like, bestie, I don't own a TV. I've been watching the ISU streams. I'm so sorry. Which was very funny because I'm sure she has great takes and she's a fantastic coach. And I'm sad that I can't experience that. But my trade-off is beautiful Mark's beautiful commentary. So that's been fun.
Yeah. And one more thing I want to say before we come back to Hana Yoshida. Because, again, it's not relevant to this competition, but I know I will forget when we talk about actual Finland. Is that
actual Finland
as opposed Finland to pretend is real. Finland? Yeah, I think in the last time we spoke about Rion Sumiyoshi, I think I mistakenly thought she was younger than she is, or I'd like read some of these Wikipedia and thought it was hers. And I always have a million skaters tabs open, but I didn't realize she was 20. And I think I spoke about her a little bit like she was younger. And so I wanted to just, like, correct myself and be like, she's 20. Mm. And she's actually, I think, the oldest woman to land a quad. So, I mean, ever, but, like, in international competition. I might not be phrasing the parameters of the achievement exactly correctly. But by some metric, she is the oldest woman to land a quad. And so I wanted to say apologies for looking at someone else's Wikipedia page and being like, oh, wow, she's really young. So anyway, we'll talk more about her next time. But I mean, spoiler.
We will.
But
we will.
Yeah. Let's talk about Hana Yoshida, because what I want to say about her short program.
Uh-huh.
I am just now learning that it is called Cuckoo Fun.
Yes, it is.
I did think they were saying coco vin, like the food.
Okay. Yes. No. That's not what you're saying.
I did sort of think she was doing a chicken-themed program.
I would have loved that.
I mean, that's how I feel about eating delicious chicken, is I feel like party dancing around to Major Lazer. Like, that's what happens in my head.
I respect that for you so much. I just think it's so fun. I mean, I've been on this soapbox before, but I feel like there is a push sometimes when people age out of juniors or whatever to get very serious and very expressive all the time for all reasons. And I think we talked a little bit about that with, I think, Kevin A. Maz, about how it is still important to just have fun a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I see a lot of absolute beginners and novices and little kids at my rank, for example, and I see so many kids just dancing the absolute batshit programs to children's songs and stuff. And I know there is a way to maintain that joy through growing up and through entering the ranks of, you know, the big leagues. And I think this program does exactly that. I think it's very, very fun without being infantilizing or whatever.
Yeah, and the final thing I want to say about Hana Yoshida is her free skate dress. Am I insane or is this a Johnny Weir tribute?
Hold on. Can I look at it again?
Yeah, I'll send you a picture. It has the same, like, white, black, gray, like, feathers kind of vibe, and then, like, the one red glove. And I'm like, to me, that's Johnny Weir core, but am I always just thinking about that in my head on some level? I've texted you the image.
Oh, you've texted me. Oh, fancy. Let me pull it up. I've also just Googled Johnny Weir, which is not going to pull up what I want.
I mean, it might.
Which is this exact reference. Well, no. I am looking at this, and I have several I mean, first of all, I love it. Second of all, I am buying this as a Johnny Weir tribute. I do think, yes. Third of all, I had not registered that it's just half her glove, which is red. So it's not even one of my hands is red. It's three of my fingers. And I'm not smart enough to figure out the why of this. Because I'm not familiar with where the music comes from, so I am not sure what we're, you know, nodding to here.
Yeah, I guess.
But I respect it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the first half of her music is Japanese, and then I guess it's from like a documentary film. I don't know. I don't know what the story is behind it. But yeah, it's interesting. I do love a little colorful glove.
I also will say her. I'm obsessed with like any little detail, like. We all know how I feel about when a black dress has a colorful underskirt. It's the same thing with a little pop of color in the glove. I just think it's very exciting and very fun. I will say the black drop shapes on her dress look to me like a billion eyes. They look like her entire dress is side-eyeing me. And I respect it. I'm into it.
It's very it like the like margins of my high school notebooks with just left eyes.
It is giving a little bit. I've just learned how to do little anime eyes, but I enjoy it. I think it's, I know that's not the point of it, but it unsettles me in a way that I very much appreciate, and I think it's fun.
It is very cool. Shall we move on to men?
I love men. Let's talk about men.
In third place with the bronze medal is Mikhail Shaidarov from Kazakhstan.
He is the first Kazakhstan skater to win at a Grand Prix since the late great Denis Ten.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for him. I don't know, I really enjoy his style, and I, again, could not have expected, I would not have predicted this podium the way it shook out, given how deep this field was. But I'm thrilled for him. I think he did what needed to be done, and he very much earned his place on the podium.
Yeah, and I think while I agree with you, like, I wouldn't have predicted him specifically, I do think that there is a certain, like, trope in the Grand Prix series of, like, young-ish, really eager, like, maybe not totally refined, but, like, has been working really hard, male skater, surprise bronze. Like, I feel like that's such a character that we encounter in this sport. And it's, I'm thrilled that it's him because, you know, he's one of those, he's one of those skaters who always just brings like full commitment, full focus and intensity to the ice, which is just really nice to see, especially from somebody who maybe isn't as well known of a favorite type of skater going in.
I also am obsessed with his, I'm thinking a lot today about like the package of the two programs. And I will say that I very much enjoy his because it's so fucking intense. He has a Matrix short and then Carmina Burana free skate. And that just brings such intense energy to just throughout the whole package. His Carmina is, he used it last year as well. And I'm thrilled to be seeing it again because I like Kara Worf and I think it's fun. And it lets me think about the old internet, you know?
Oh, I know. As in this octopus that let's give him boots.
Yes, yes. Every time. I am physically incapable of not thinking about salsa cookies.
Yeah. I personally love to just sing. It gave me gonorrhea at an appropriate time in the company of people who I think will get the joke and then don't. Happens a lot. Great. Every time. It's funny, too, because the choreographer, Oleg Portov, had said, I guess, apparently, like, he had always wanted to choreograph to Carmina Burana, which is, I don't know, it's, like, a really funny choice to, like, listen to that and be like, I wanted somebody to dance to this. I want someone to skate to this. But it's cool.
I don't know. I enjoy it. I'm very happy that we get to talk about him. He also is apparently the 2021 Sofia Trophy bronze medalist, which I didn't remember, but he has skated at my rink. And that always makes me, you know, it always makes me giggle a little bit when I'm like, yeah, this person has been on my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I associate Carmina Burana, like, or O Fortuna with athleticism because when I was in college, I used to go to the call. I used to get dragged to the gym with a friend of mine. And this was like, I think before phones could play music or before like phones could play music. So I had to borrow his iPod Shuffle if I wanted to listen to music on the, not the Stairmaster. What is it called? The
elliptical?
Yes, the elliptical. I was like, the elevator. No, that's not an exercise machine. It is for me. Forget taking the stairs. We're going to get on the elevator. No, on the elliptical, if I wanted music, I had to borrow his iPod Shuffle nano thing, and I'm pretty sure the only piece of music he had on it was O Fortuna, so I would just listen to that on a loop, like, very out of breath on the elliptical.
First of all, that is extremely charming. Secondly, when I was a young boy, when I was maybe 12 years old, I had one of those MP3, like, off-brand MP3 players long before you had an iPod, and I also had O Fortuna on it.
Wow, that's like crazy. It's like we were destined to be talking about this at this moment.
We're what, 8 years into this friendship, and we continue discovering the most unhinged shit to connect over.
That we were both like Carl Orff booze like 20 years ago.
Who knew? Should we move on? Because I want to talk about how much I screamed.
Yeah, well, you may have heard of this next skater. In second place is Shoma Uno with a silver, which is something that we used to say a lot. And now it's been a while since we've said it.
Shoma Uno is silver. Two-time consecutive world medalist Shoma
It's giving
Uno.
Retro. It's giving throwback. It's giving, like, the curse of the silver. Just, like, a little cheeky
True
wink.
Vintage.
Like, remember that? Haha. Only millennials remember.
The thing is, Megan, and if my audio is shitty, it's because I'm literally climbing my chair right now because I can't contain myself. I will be talking about this in conjunction with our gold medalist because it's impossible not to. Shoma went into the free skate with a 15-point lead. And he's Shoma fucking Uno. And you're like, there's no way. There is no way this is not going to shake out for him. And then it didn't. And I mean, it's still fantastic, and he's still going to be so, so fine. And I just love the drama.
It's just such a serve to that his entire party line with Steph and everything all season has been like, it's not about winning. It's just about going out and like, you know, just showing my art. I'm like, oh, that's so good. It's just so like rock star, 2-time world champion. Like, I love it.
Yeah. He just shows up and he just happens to be incredible. I will say his short program, 105.25 points for it. It was incredible. Both of his programs are incredible. And the math just mathed the way it did. And my God, it's been so long since I've been this fucking unhinged. There is a picture that Jamie took, which I think I put on my Instagram story, but I might like throw it up on Patreon or something, because halfway through the event, I was like, there's no way Adam's winning this. It's mathematically impossible. If Adam wins this, I will be doing shots of Fireball in the middle of my living room. And then he did. And Jamie just walked to my bar cupboard and just handed me the bottle. So there is a picture of me just in a sweater with like the hood up, just chugging Fireball from the bottle about this.
Doing shots for Adam Shahumfa is important. No, but what I'll say about Shoma is a couple of things. One is that he had been very like reclusive leading up to this, and it was like, oh, like what is his form like? We haven't seen him at any of the B competitions. Like, this is literally his season debut. And so everyone was like, oh, we don't know what he's doing, we don't know what shape he's in, and that made me worry. And so I prepared for the worst, and then he came back, and after that short program I was like, oh my God, he's better than ever. This is incredible.
Yeah, I first of all, it's so good to see him back. I have missed my man so much. I don't know, man. It feels like he really is back because he is so undeniable and so clearly in a special league of his own. And you still have that little, tiny little chaos factor of what is he gonna do? When is he gonna do it? How is it gonna work out? Which, I don't know. I think this is part of the brand, is being the undeniable rock star, but also being a little agent of chaos. I love it.
Yeah, and I was thinking how it's really kind of been a while in both men's and women's, mm-hmm. since I feel like we've had a real rock solid, incredibly, unbelievably consistent front runner. Like, in the same way, like, I don't know, I feel like Nathan for like a really, really long time was just so like unshakable. And I can't think of anybody who's really that right now.
No, I think we have several men who are clearly extremely good, and they all have their own strengths that they excel at, and then things that are a little bit of a downfall. But I do think that there is always like that little volatility aspect of it, where the final is about to be so fucking spicy, and I can't wait.
Yeah, like, it's why we watch the sport. And I think I also really appreciate that Shoma has been saying, like, from the beginning of this competition, like, oh my God, Adam Shahumfa, like, I'm such a fan. And he's like, I've been saying, like, I've been telling you people, I've always noticed his skating. And I'm like, me too, Shoma. I've been saying too for a long time that he's going to be a big star. And I feel like Shoma and I were the originals, and like, we knew. We were the hipsters about it. We knew about it before it was immediately obvious to everybody. And so I was like, that's kind of awesome to go in and be like, yeah, enough about me. How about this other like hot shit young skater who's coming up? I don't even care if he beats me. He's the best.
I love that energy, and I love that Shoma has grown into being that person in the sport. And I also, kind of joining in on that, I was going to say piggybacking, but I'm not in grad school anymore. I am so thrilled because it truly seems like Adam is friends with everyone. Every single person he's beat, every single person that has skated with him only has good things to say about him. And I just think that's also indicative of the energy he brings to the competition. It's just so fun to see someone rise as a star so quickly in such a powerful statement sort of way. And then have everyone be like, yeah, he fucking deserves it.
Yeah, don't you feel like there's just overall kind of a lot more like camaraderie, friendship, energy in the international field? Like, I think we had a ton of that, like not this past Olympic cycle, but the one before that, like the one that happened before we started the show. I feel like there was so much like buddies off ice content. And like, then there was this real like dearth of it. And I do think part of it had to do with the fact that the pandemic kept people from hanging out in general. Yeah. But even before that, I don't know, I just felt like the vibes were really, really serious and they weren't like nasty by any means, but it wasn't as like, we're all besties off the ice. And I love that, especially among Team Japan, that's kind of, I don't know, but really like internationally, I just feel like there's a lot of that energy coming out of the pandemic into the ice shows. Like, we're all just thrilled to be supporting one another. I love seeing that. It's like one of my favorite things about the sport and I'm glad, I don't know, I missed it.
Yeah, me too. I think we talked a little bit about that last time as well. I think this is kind of a continuation of my whole thing about how we're seeing those new dynamics form and those new, you know, friendships and the sports like competition that you respect and you enjoy, because we have a bunch of new people who are shooting up to the top of the ranks. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, new dynamics. And I just think it's so fun.
Yeah, like, okay, I've been watching a lot of Blue Eye Samurai, which I highly, highly, highly suggest on Netflix. It is maybe one of the best shows I've ever seen. Definitely one of the best animes I've ever seen. I don't know if it counts as anime because I think it's not entirely made in Japan. I think it's like America and Japan and France, but whatever. It's like made for Netflix. Incredible cast. Just so unbelievably cool. Animation is unreal. You have to watch it. But what it's been bringing up for me, it's doing really, really well. The trope of like enemies who like respect each other so much because they're like pretty much both like the best swords people. And so there's a lot of like, nobody gets to kill me but you. And like, you have to survive this so I can then kill you after. It's like one of the best things.
Oh,
and so,
Megan.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching that so hard.
You're going to love it, dude. Like, I will talk about it for hours after. I'm like obsessed with it and I can't stop thinking about it.
I don't even have a Netflix subscription right now, but I will find one. That sounds incredible.
But so that dynamic of like, we're enemies and we're competitors, but we're the best and we respect each other. Like, I love seeing that in sport, basically. So
yeah, it is one of the best tropes and it's so exciting. We've kind of pivoted. Should we just talk about Adam?
I always want to just talk about Adam. He's unbelievable. Like, what is there to say?
We had some people, you know, tweet at us and use the Spotify Q&A feature. Which,
wait,
thank
what?
You for doing that. Spotify has a Q&A feature where people can like interact with your episodes, and
oh my
I've
God.
Never done it for any of the podcasts I listen to, but someone did that for our most recent episode, and thank you so much. And it's very fun. And if you listen on Spotify, please do that.
My thing is, okay, sorry, I just whacked my desk. It asks me for feedback on my own podcasts that I make because it doesn't realize I make them, and I'm like, no. So it'll be like, no. Give us your thoughts on Questlade plans. And I'm like, no, but
I will not.
I have already have, but I didn't know other people did for us. That's so cute.
Yeah, there's little Q&A things and it's very, very cute. But people have been very appreciative of our whole tangent about him as an actor and about how he continues to just ramp up that performance energy. And I think, despite having traveled France to China within under a week, I think he was even better in that aspect. Maybe not in the mathematics of it all, but I think he's understanding the stakes of the performance more and more as the season progresses, and I'm fucking thrilled about it.
Yeah, like, it's, and you know, I know I just said, oh, there's not like a skater who has that like unbelievably unshakable consistency, you know, and two competitions plus like the B competitions. I mean, I don't want to say that that's enough info to like call that for Adam, but it's impressive enough to me, like hearing Mark describe his schedule as like finishes the gala for France, gets on a plane, goes to China, and then is in not rehearsals, what are they called, warm-ups, oh my god,
practices.
I'm sorry, I just, he's such an actor that it took me back to my theater lingo. No,
not the theater,
not the theater. I was like, and then he just goes straight into warm-ups and then does the competition, and he had very little time to practice. And so I'm just like, that's, like, I just am exhausted hearing about that, and it made me nervous hearing about it. And I just can't, I am genuinely, like, I don't understand how it's possible that he did so well, but he did.
He is such a rock star. He is propelled just by the sheer force of his star quality. And also, I'm sure, a lot of adrenaline. I feel like he is so far having the dream season. It's insane. He has, at this point, beaten the 2-time world medalist. This bounds so well for worlds. I will point out, Choma is, as of right now, not yet qualified for the final because he's only skated once. I'm sure he'll be fine unless things go completely insane. But all of this is, again, shaping up to make such an interesting final. And I feel like it's been a hot second since I've been this in the weeds about how the final is going to end up shaking out. And it's thrilling.
Yeah, and that's what is great about it, is that it's, I think in both men's and women's fields, it's really, really stacked, but in a way that, like, it could be anybody's game. Or, like, put another way. It's sad,
but everyone has a little bit of chaos, yes.
Yeah, put another way, it's unpredictable, but not for lack of quality, which is, like, a great place to be in.
Yes. I do think we're seeing a lot of developing talent. I do think we're going to continue seeing more of this trend as a lot of people come into their own even more. But it's exciting. I like when things are a little bit unhinged. It brings so much excitement to the sport.
Yeah, we know this. We like some unpredictability. Otherwise, you could just, like, you know, put math into a computer and do that instead of having competitions.
Yeah, and no one wants that. I mean, I'm sure people want math. I can't relate to that.
But that's why we have our friends at Skating Scores, who we still love, even though they lied to us about the mascot.
I can't believe we got gaslit about the mascots. But I, you know what, at this point, at Skating Scores, friend, dear, at this point, this is an urban legend. You have created contemporary myth, and it's just going to have to live on the internet. And I, even though the source person has told me it's not real, I will continue to believe it. I've been watching a lot of, like, think pieces about contemporary mythologies and urban legends and copy, like, creepypastas, and how we make our own myth digitally. And I think you've done this because for so many, like, creepypastas and urban legends, there is a date of origin and there is a person who wrote the first thing, like fucking Slenderman or something. And even though that can be traced back, people still choose to be like, oh, but what if? What if you wrote this one time because you knew about it from before, because it's always been in the public eye? And similarly to all of that, I will continue to believe the myth of the little ice sweeper kids and the plushies, because I think it's precious.
Until we get word from the person who designed them that that's not true, we can't prove that it's not true.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it, and it's a good theory, and you have duped us, but I respect it, and I'll continue to perpetuate this rumor.
It's true. I also was like, oh, should we start a prank war with Skating Scores? And then I was like, honestly, I don't think we can, because how do you prank people who deal in cold hard facts and numbers? Like, oh, guess what? The number 2 is actually 1+0. Psych.
No, that is terrible. That is terrible. We're not going to do that. Should we? Is this China?
It could be China. I think it is. I think that we do need to talk about plushies.
Oh my God. Well, I have already talked about the most important plushie, which is Rinka's gigantic, what is it called? Is the Bathonia something? Bathonomous Giganteus.
Bathonomous Chongus.
Big Chongus. Big Chongus. He is so special to me. And honestly, I remember very little about the rest of Plushy Corner.
Kind of same. Like, I don't know if there were, like, a ton of crazy standouts. I do want to say, though, that what did stand out for me was the absolute rain of plushies for Bo Young Jin. And I yeah, like they were pummeling Spider-Mans. It was Spider-Man 2, too many Spider-Mans across the Spider-Verse. And I was like, okay, they were like pummeling the judges. Like Wen Jingzhui was there pummeling the judges with plushies. I genuinely, even for Yuzu, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
You know what? I will say plushie corner was kind of hard because, as was pointed out several times by Mark, the arena is built as such that the audience is very high up. And most of the plushies did not make it onto the ice. And most of them did make it onto the judges, which I think is praxis. I think that is direct action, and I respect it.
Yeah, I'll give you a sneak peek of some very exciting news that I am going to have the opportunity to go to Worlds this year.
And, let's go!
We're in the process of picking out what seats we want. And I don't actually have much of a preference in terms of, like, I don't have, like, I need to sit here, I need to sit in the corner, I need to sit on the side. Like, I'll sit wherever it's skating. But my one demand is, like, I cannot throw a plushie that far. Like, we have to be close enough, or at least close enough to an aisle that I can get up and walk. Like, the first time I went to a competition where I was throwing plushies, I vastly overestimated my own arm strength. I was like, I played softball growing up. I can chuck a little stuffed whale at Amber Glen from a million miles away. No, they don't weigh that much, and I am soft. I myself am made mostly of plush. It is important to consider when you're selecting your seats for any competition, where in the arena can you sit, that if you're honest with yourself, can you throw that far? If you're really, really honest with yourself.
I'm just now imagining, like, baseball practice, the way people go to just the park to play sports for fun, but it's a bunch of figure skating fans, and the thing is, you're wearing your warmish jacket and a big coat, and then you're just practicing your free throws. Yeah. So that you can be prepared for being cold and bundled up and still able to throw things a far distance.
Exactly. Like, you've got to train. That's the thing that people don't tell you, is, like, you've got to do the off-ice training.
What if we add that to, I guess it would be the Summer Olympics. I guess this is technically track and field.
Oh, you're so right. Honestly, you know what? Like, that's actually, we're joking, but here's the thing.
I'm not joking.
a hard shot put will travel pretty far. Okay, there's, like, you have to be able to lift it, right? But if you can lift it, it's like, yeah, like, a hard, heavy object is going to go further than, like, a teddy bear. And, like, I want to see how far you can throw something that doesn't weigh that much.
I'm looking at the plushies that I have near me right now. They are my ghost wizard and my mouse. My bedroom is not that big, but I'll be so honest with you. The second we're wrapped here, I am going to go and throw them to see how far I can go.
Yeah, and you want to be careful too, because if they're heavy enough to really travel to the ice, they could harm someone when they fall.
They could pummel a judge.
Well, that's okay, but I meant like a skater or a child.
A person.
I meant a person with rights.
Sorry to the judges. I'm sorry to the judges. But yeah, I was very emotional about the rain for Boyang. We will talk about him on Patreon.
Plushy rain and your black eyes.
Plushy rain and your black eyes.
Plushy rain.
Would be the title if we didn't have Junji Ito's Yuri on Ice.
That's true. That'll be the subtitle. Anyway,
this is it. Can I take a second for something that's completely not figure skating related before we sign out?
Sure, it's never stopped us before.
Here's the thing. This is about to be serious for half a second. I know that everyone who listens to us kind of shares our politics and whatever. There has been an ongoing hunger strike in Bulgaria by this trans woman. I've been tweeting about it. Her name's Gabby, and she has been on a hunger strike for about 6 days now. She was briefly arrested. She's back on the street and she continues her strike. She's striking in front of the Sofia courthouse because she legally changed her name and has transitioned, and her ID card didn't look like her anymore and didn't have her name, and she can't get, you know, medical help or anything else because of that. And she's been stuck in this bureaucratic loophole of every single different office refuses to acknowledge her documents, and she has not been issued a new ID card, so she's technically doesn't have an identity in the country because, you know, you need your ID card, which is our, you know, passport, essentially, inside the country. She has a kid who is like 5 years old. She is sick. She has pneumonia and she continues to be outside. It's very cold. It's very gross. And she is striking for her rights and for the extended human rights of trans people in our country. There is an all-out petition that we're trying to spread. It currently has, as of time of recording, 2,525 signatures. We're trying to get to 5,000, so it's about halfway there. And I will just leave a link to it in the show notes. I know y'all share our feelings and politics, and I would very much appreciate if y'all could, you know, drop a signature. It takes a second. And if you could, like, retweet my info about it. I know a lot is happening in the world, and I know a lot of things need our attention, but I would locally appreciate it because I have this, you know, little platform here, and I felt like I had to use it a little bit. That's it.
Hello, everybody. It is Megan from the future. As of right before the release of this episode, I want to update everybody that Gabby has, of her own accord, voluntarily ended the hunger strike. And the petition is still ongoing, so we're going to still include that in the show notes, as well as an Instagram link to Gabby's own personal statement on how she wants to focus the activism going forward. So we thank you so much for taking interest in this extremely important issue, and we hope you'll consider signing. Thanks.
And thank you so much if you've listened to me so far. Back to what we usually do. We are here because of y'all, and especially because of the people who support our show. Megan, now that I've talked so much and have truly killed the mood, do you want to give me the list of the people who would not throw away plushie at a skater, just at a judge?
I sure would.
Our Patreon supporters.
We want to give extra special thanks to Brooke, Richard, Michelle, Vicky, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy Lukes, Casey, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in Winter, Alina, Margaret, Robert, Annie, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan.
Thank you so much. You truly help us keep the lights on here in the Metaphorical Studio. You can find us online if you want to tell us about things. I don't even know where anymore. Megan, are you on the internet?
I am. Apparently you can find me by, like, sending me a weird Spotify DM or some shit. I don't know what that is. You can, I apparently don't know about all the ways you can give me feedback, and I can't promise I'll see it. The world just keeps on turning, doesn't it?
You can find me at Neda Marie all over the internet. Blue
yeah,
sky
our stuff's always in the rest of it. The show notes and everything.
Yeah, and
I just can't
find
remember my
both
own handle.
Of us. You can find both of us at iSteepod, iSteepod.com for all of our links and for yet another place where you can just leave us a comment and we'll enjoy it. And also iSteepod on the formerly Bird app, where we will continue our direct coverage as things happen. And we will see you very, very shortly.
Oh, can I plug something?
Finland. Yes, please.
Yeah, so As of time of recording, this is going to be fine. Yeah. So I'm going to be a guest on the Twitch show That's Pretty Crafty, hosted by
Let's Go
Danny,
Let's go.
Who is wonderful. And it is a show where Danny and some other wonderful folks do crafts and talk about media properties that they enjoy, and we are honored that they chose Questlaid Plans, our other podcast, our D&D podcast, as one of the things they want to talk about. So that's going to be on November 28th on,
hell yeah,
I want to say the Majestic Goose Network on Twitch. I'll fix this, that's wrong, but I'll be on there talking about it. And if you're ever like, oh, I kind of want to know what that's all about, but I don't know if I want to, like, listen to it, you could watch the stream and hear us talk about it, or watch me do a craft. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but, you know.
Amazing. We'll
probably embarrass myself. Be great.
I'm so excited for that. Also, for those of y'all who are in the Venn diagram of both of our podcasts, Questlaid Plans Season 2 is coming very shortly, and we'll talk to you more about it when we're closer to that time.
Yeah, I love to make a podcast during the Grand Prix of the other podcast. It's just
we keep doing this to ourselves.
It doesn't matter how hard we try not to do it. It keeps happening. It's fine.
the curse of loving figure skating is such. Anyway, we'll see you very soon for Finland, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us, and thank you for joining us for Junji Ito's Yuri on Ice.
This has been Junji Ito. Next time on Junji Ito's Yuri on Ice.
Love you, bye.